Down the hall, a lieutenant commander that he knew came out of the code room. His face was brown from golf and the beach at Jaimanitas. He looked healthy, and his unhappiness did not show. He was young and a very good Far East man. Thomas Hudson had known him when he had the motor car agency in Manila and a branch agency in Hong Kong. He spoke Tagalog and good Cantonese. Naturally, he also spoke Spanish. So he was in Havana.
"Hi, Tommy," he said. "When did you get into town?"
"Last night."
"How are the roads?"
"Moderately dusty."
"You'll turn the goddamn car over sometime."
"I'm a careful driver."
"You always were,"
the lieutenant commander, whose name was Fred Archer, said. He put his arm around Thomas Hudson's shoulders.
"Let me feel of you."
"Why?"
"You cheer me up. It cheers me up when I feel of you."
"Have you been over to eat at the Pacifico?"
"Not for a couple of weeks. Should we go?"
"Anytime."
"I can't make lunch, but we can eat there tonight. Do you have anything for tonight?"
"No, just afterwards."
"Me afterwards, too. Where shall I meet you?"
"The Floridita." "Come on up there when the shop shuts."
"Good. I have to come back here afterwards, so we can't get too drunk."
"Don't tell me you bastards work nights now."
"I do," Archer said. "It isn't a popular move."
"I'm awfully glad to see you, Mr. Freddy," Thomas Hudson said. "You make me feel cheerful, too."
"You don't have to feel cheerful," Fred Archer said. "You've got it."
"You mean I've had it?"
"You've had it, and you've re-had it, and you've re-had it doubled."
"Not in spades."
"Spades won't be any use to you, brother, and you've still got it."
"Write it out for me sometime, Freddy. I'd like to be able to read it early in the mornings."
"You got a head in her yet?"
"No. Where the head was is about $35,000 worth of junk I signed for."
"I know. I saw it in the safe, what you signed."
"They're goddamn careless, then."
"You can say that again."
"Is everybody careless?"
"No. And things are a lot better, really, Tommy."
"Good," said Thomas Hudson. "That's the thought for today."
"Don't you want to come in? There's some new guys you'd like. Two really nice guys. One of them really beat up."
"No. Do they know anything about the business?"
"No, of course not. They just know you're out there and they'd like to meet you. You'd like them. Nice guys."
"Let's meet them another time," Thomas Hudson said.
"Okay, Chief," Archer said. "I'll come up to your place when the joint closes."
"The Floridita."
"That's what I meant."
"I'm getting stupid."
"It's just sheepherder's madness," Archer said. "Do you want me to bring any of these characters?"
"No, not unless you want to very much. Some of my mob may be around."
"I should think you bastards wouldn't want to see each other ashore."
"Sometimes they get sort of lonesome."
"What they ought to do is net them all and lock them up."
"They'd get out."
"Go on," Archer said. "You're late at the place."
Fred Archer went in the door opposite the code room, and Thomas Hudson walked down the hall and walked down the stairs instead of taking the elevator. Outside, it was so bright the glare hurt his eyes, and it was still blowing heavily from the north-northwest. He got into the car and told the chauffeur to go up O'Reilly to the Floridita. Before the car circled the plaza in front of the embassy building and the Ayuntamiento and turned into O'Reilly, he saw the size of the waves in the mouth of the harbor and the heavy rise and fall of the channel buoy. In the mouth of the harbor, the sea was very wild and confused, and clear green water was breaking over the rock at the base of the Moro, the tops of the seas blowing white in the sun. "It looks wonderful," he said to himself. "It not only looks wonderful, it is wonderful. I'm going to have a drink on it." "Christ," he thought, "I wish I were as solid as Freddy Archer thinks I am. Hell, I am as solid. I always go, and I always want to go. What the hell more do they want? For you to eat Torpex for breakfast? Or stick it under your armpits like tobacco? That'd be a hell of a good way to get jaundice," he thought. "What do you suppose made you think of that? Are you getting spooky, Hudson?" "I am not," he said. "I have certain unavoidable reactions. Many of them have not been classified. Especially not by me. I would just like to be as solid as Freddy thinks instead of being human. I think you have more fun as a human being, even though it is much more painful." "It is goddamn painful right about now. It would be nice to be like they think, though." "All right, now, don't think about that either. If you don't think about it, it doesn't exist." "The hell it doesn't. But that's the system I'm going on," he thought. The Floridita was open now, and he bought the two papers that were out, Crisol and Alerta, and took them to the bar with him. He took his seat on a tall barstool at the extreme left of the bar. His back was against the wall toward the street, and his left was covered by the wall behind the bar. He ordered a double frozen daiquiri with no sugar from Pedrico, who smiled his smile, which was almost like the rictus on a dead man who has died from a suddenly broken back, and yet was a true and legitimate smile, and started to read Crisol. The fighting was in Italy now. He did not know the country where the Fifth Army was fighting, but he knew the country on the other side where the Eighth Army was, and he was thinking about it when Ignacio Natera Revello came into the bar and stood beside him. Pedrico set out a bottle of Victoria Vat, a glass with large chunks of ice in it, and a bottle of Canada Dry soda in front of Ignacio Natera Revello, and he made a highball hurriedly and then turned toward Thomas Hudson, looking at him through his green-tinted, horn-rimmed glasses and feigning to have just seen him. Ignacio Natera Revello was tall and thin, dressed in a white linen countryman's shirt, white trousers, black silk socks, well-shined old brown English brogues, and he had a red face, a yellow toothbrushy mustache, and nearsighted bloodshot eyes that the green glasses protected. His hair was sandy and brushed stiffly down. Seeing his eagerness for the highball, you might think it was the first of the day. It was not.
"Your ambassador is making an ass of himself," he said to Thomas Hudson.
"I'll be a sad son of a bitch," Thomas Hudson said.
No, be serious. Let me tell you. Now this is absolutely between you and me."
"Drink up. I don't want to hear about it."
"Well, you should hear about it, and you should do something about it."
"Aren't you cold?" Thomas Hudson asked him, in that shirt and the light trousers.
"I'm never cold."
"You're never sober either," Thomas Hudson thought. "You start to drink in that little bar by the house, and by the time you come here for the first one of the day, you're potted. You probably didn't even notice the weather when you dressed." "Yes," he thought. "And what about yourself? What time of day did you take your first drink this morning, and how many have you had before this first one? Don't you cast the first stone at any rummies." "It's not rummies," he thought. "I don't mind him being a rummy. It's just that he's a damned bore. You don't have to pity bores, and you do not have to be kind to them." "Come on," he said. "You're going to have fun today. Relax and enjoy it." "I'll roll you for this one," he said.
"Very well," said Ignacio. "You roll."
He rolled three kings in one, stood on them, naturally, and won. That was pleasant. It couldn't make the drink taste any better, but it was a pleasant feeling to roll three kings in one, and he enjoyed winning from Ignacio Natera Revello because he was a snob and a bore, and winning from him gave him some useful significance.
"Now we're off for this one," Ignacio Natera Revello said.
"He's the type of snob and bore that you always think of by all his three names," Thomas Hudson thought, "just as you think of him as a snob and a bore. It's probably like people who put three after their names. Thomas Hudson III. Thomas Hudson the Turd." "You're not Ignacio Natera Revello III, are you, by any chance?"
"Of course not. You know my father's name very well."
"That's right. Of course I do."
"You know both my brother's names. You know my grandfather's names. Don't be silly."
"I'll try not to be," Thomas Hudson said. "I'll try quite hard."
"Do," Ignacio Natera Revello said. "It will be good for you."
Concentrating, working the leather cup in his best form, doing his hardest and best work of the morning, he rolled four jacks all day. "My poor dear friend," Thomas Hudson said. He shook the dice in the heavy leather cup and loved the sound of them. "Such kind, good dice. Such rich feeling and laudable dice," he said.
"Go on and throw them, and don't be silly."
Thomas Hudson rolled out three kings and a pair of tens on the slightly dampened bar. "Want to bet?"
"We have a bet," Ignacio Natera Revello said. "The second round of drinks."
Thomas Hudson shook the dice lovingly again and rolled a queen and a jack. "Want to bet now?"
"The odds are still greatly in your favor."
"Okay. I'll just take the drinks then." He rolled a king and an ace, feeling them come out of the shaker solidly and proudly.
You lucky sod.
Another double frozen daiquiri without sugar and whatever Ignacio wants, Thomas Hudson said. He was beginning to feel fond of Ignacio.
Look, Ignacio, he said, I never heard of anyone looking at the world through green-colored glasses.
Rose-colored? Yes. Green-colored? No.
Doesn't it give everything a sort of grassy look? Don't you feel as though you were on the turf? Do you never feel as though you'd been turned out to pasture?
This is the most restful tint for the eyes. It's been proven by the greatest optometrists.
Do you run around much with the greatest optometrists? They must be a pretty wild bunch.
I don't know any optometrist personally except my own, but he is familiar with the findings of others. He is the best in New York.
I want to know the best in London.
I know the best optometrist in London, but the very best is in New York. I'll be glad to give you a card to him.
Let's roll for this one.
Very well, you roll back to me.
Thomas Hudson picked up the leather cup and felt the heavy, confident weight of the big Floridita dice. He barely stirred them in order not to irritate their kindness and generosity, and rolled out three kings, a 10 and a queen.
Three kings and one. The Classico. You are a bastard, Ignacio Natera Ravello said, and rolled an ace, two queens, and two jacks.
Another double frozen daiquiri absolutely without sugar and whatever Don Ignacio wishes, Thomas Hudson said to Pedrico. Pedrico made his smile and the drink. He set down the mixer before Thomas Hudson with at least another full daiquiri in the bottom of it.
I could do that to you all day, Thomas Hudson said to Ignacio.
The horrible thing is, I'm afraid you could.
The dice love me.
It's good something does.
Thomas Hudson felt the faint prickle go over his scalp that he had felt many times in the last month.
How do you mean that, Ignacio? He asked very politely.
I mean that I certainly don't, with you taking all my money.
Oh, said Thomas Hudson. Here's to your good health.
I hope you die,
Ignacio Natera Ravello said. Thomas Hudson felt the prickle go over his scalp again. He reached his left hand against the bar where Ignacio Natera Ravello could not see it and tapped softly three times with the ends of his fingers.
That's nice of you, he said. Do you want to roll for another round?
No, the other said. I've lost quite enough money to you for one day.
You haven't lost any money, only drinks.
I pay my bar bill here.
Ignacio, Thomas Hudson said, that's the third slightly edgy thing you've said.
Well, I am edgy. If you'd had someone be as damn rude to you as your bloody ambassador was to me.
I still don't want to hear about it.
There you are, and you call me edgy. Look, Thomas, we're good friends. I've known you and your boy Tom for years. By the way, how is he?
He's dead.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
That's all right, Thomas Hudson said. I'll buy you a drink.
I'm so very sorry. Please know how terribly sorry I am. How was he killed?
I don't know yet, Thomas Hudson said. I'll let you know when I know.
Where was it?
I don't know that. I know where he was flying, but I don't know anything else.
Did he get into London to see any of our friends?
Oh, yes. He'd been in town several times, and to White's each time, and he'd seen whoever was around.
Well, that's a comfort, in a way.
A what?
I mean, it's nice to know he saw our friends.
Certainly, I'm sure he had a good time. He always had an awfully good time.
Should we drink to him?
Shit, no, Thomas Hudson said. He could feel it all coming up. Everything he had not thought about. All the grief he had put away and walled out, and never even thought of on the trip. Nor all this morning. Let's not.
I think it is a thing to do, Ignacio Natera Ravello said. I think it is eminently proper and the thing to do, but I must buy the drink.
All right, we'll drink to him.
What was his rank?
Flight lieutenant.
He probably have been a wing commander by now, or at least a squadron leader.
Let's skip his rank.
Just as you wish.
Ignacio Natera Ravello said.
To my dear friend and your son, Tom Hudson, dulce es morir pro patria.
In the pig's asshole,
Thomas Hudson said.
What's the matter? Was my Latin faulty?
I wouldn't know, Ignacio.
But your Latin was excellent. I know from people who were at school with you.
My Latin is very beat up, Thomas Hudson said, along with my Greek, my English, my head, and my heart. All I know how to speak now is frozen daiquiri.
Tu hablas frozen daiquiri too? I think we might show a little more respect to Tom.
Tom was a pretty good joker.
He certainly was. He had one of the finest and most delicate senses of humor I've ever known. And he was one of the best-looking boys and with the most beautiful manners. And a damn fine athlete. He was tops as an athlete.
That's right. He threw the discus 142 feet. He played fullback on offense and left tackle on defense. He played a good game of tennis, and he was a first-rate wing shot and a good fly fisherman.
He was a splendid athlete and a fine sportsman. I think of him as one of the very finest.
There's only one thing really wrong with him.
What's that?
He's dead.
Now, don't be morbid, Tommy. You must think of Tom as he was, of his gaiety and his radiance and his wonderful promise. There's no sense being morbid.
None at all, Thomas Hudson said. Let's not be morbid.
I'm glad you agree. It's been splendid to have a chance to talk about him. It's been terrible to have the news, but I know you will bear up just as I will, even though it's 1,000 times worse for you being his father. What was he flying?
Spitfires.
Speedies. I shall think of him then in a speedy.
That's a lot of bother to go to.
No, no, it isn't. I've seen them in the cinema. I've several books on the RAF, and we get publications of the British Information Bureau. They have excellent stuff, you know. I know exactly how he would have looked, probably wearing one of those Mae Wests and with his chute and his flying togs and his big boots. I can picture him exactly. Now I have to be getting home to lunch. Will you come with me? I know Leticia would love to have you.
No, I have to meet a man here. Thanks very much.
Goodbye, old boy,
Ignacio Natera Ravello said.
I know you'll take this thing the way you should.
You were kind to help me.
No, I wasn't kind at all. I love Tom, as you did, as we all did.
Thanks for all the drinks.
I'll get them back from you another day.
He went out. From beyond him, down the bar, one of the men from the boat moved up to Hudson. He was a dark boy with short, clipped, curly black hair and a left eye that had a slightly droopy lid. The eye was artificial, but this did not show since the government had presented him with 4 different eyes. Bloodshot, slightly bloodshot, almost clear, and clear. He was wearing slightly bloodshot, and he was already a little drunk.
Hi, Tom! When did you get into town?
Yesterday. Then, speaking slowly and almost without moving his lips, take it easy, don't be a fucking comedian.
I'm not, I'm just getting drunk. They cut me open, they find security written on my liver. I'm the security king. You know that. Listen. Tom, I was standing up next to that phony Englishman, and I couldn't help but hear. Did your boy Tommy get killed?
Yeah.
Ah, shit,
the boy said.
Ah, shit.
I don't want to talk about it.
Of course not. But when did you hear?
Before the last trip.
Ah, shit.
What are you doing today?
I'm going to eat over at the Basque bar with a couple of characters, then we're all going to get laid.
Where are you going to have lunch tomorrow?
At the Basque bar.
Ask Paco to call me up from lunch tomorrow, will you?
Sure. Out at the house?
Yes, at the house.
Do you want to come around with us and get laid? We're going up to Henry's sin house.
I might come around.
Henry's hunting girls now. He's been hunting girls ever since breakfast. He's been laid a couple of times already, but he's trying to beat the 2 tomatoes we had. We got them at the Corsal, and they look pretty bad in the daylight. We couldn't find a goddamn thing. This town's really gone to hell. He's got the 2 tomatoes up at the sin house just in case, and he's out hunting girls with Honest Lil. They got a car.
Were they doing any good?
I don't think so. Henry wants that little girl. The little one he sees all the time at the fronton. Honest Lil can't get her because she's afraid of him, because he's so big. She says she could get her for me, but she can't get it for Henry because she's spooked of his size and his weight and things she's heard. But Henry doesn't want anything else now because the two tomatoes topped him off. So now it's this little girl, and he's in love with her, just like that, in love with her. He's probably forgotten about it now and is banging the tomatoes again right now. He's got to eat, though, and we're going to meet at the Bass Bar.
Make him eat, Thomas Hudson said.
You can't make him do anything. You can, but I can't. But I'll beg him to eat. I plead with him to eat. I'll set him an example by eating.
Get Paco to make him eat.
That's an idea Paco can probably get him to eat.
Wouldn't you think he would be hungry after that?
Wouldn't you?
This ends Disc 7.
Just then, the biggest man that Thomas Hudson knew, and the most cheerful and with the widest shoulders and the best manners, came in through the door of the bar with a smile on his face, which was beading with sweat even on the cold day. His hand was out in greeting. He was so big he made everyone at the bar look stunted, and he had a lovely smile. He was dressed in old blue trousers, a Cuban countryman's shirt, and rope-soled shoes.
"Tom," he said, "you bastard, we've been in search of the lovelies."
His handsome face, as soon as he was out of the wind, sweated even more.
"Pedrico, I'll have one of those too, the double size, or larger if you make them. Imagine seeing you here, Tom, and I've forgotten. Here's Honest Lil. Come over here, my beauty."
Honest Lil had come in the other door. She looked her best when sitting at the far end of the bar, when you saw only her lovely dark face, and the grossness that had come over her body was hidden by the polished wood of the bar. Now, coming toward the bar from the door, there was no hiding her body, so she propelled it, swaying to the bar, as rapidly as she could without visibly hurrying, and got up onto the stool Thomas Hudson had occupied. This moved him one stool to the right, and gave her the covered left flank.
"Hello, Tom," she said, and kissed Thomas Hudson. "Henry is terrible."
"I'm not at all terrible, my beauty," Henry told her.
"You're terrible," she told him. "Every time I see you, you are more terrible. Thomas, you protect me from him."
"What's he being terrible about?"
"He wants a little tiny girl that he is crazy for, and the little tiny girl can't go with him. But she wouldn't go anyway because she is frightened of him because he is so big and weighs 230 pounds.
Henry Wood blushed, sweat visibly, and took a big sip of his drink.
225, he said.
"What did I tell you?" the dark boy said. "Isn't that exactly what I told you?"
"Just what business is it of yours to be telling anyone anything?" Henry asked him.
"Two tramps, two tomatoes, two broken-down waterfront broads, two cunts with but a single thought, the rent. We lay them, we trade cunts, and relay them. It's strictly from wet decks. I say one friendly, understanding word now, and I am not a gentleman."
"They weren't really awfully good, were they?" Henry said, blushing again.
"Awfully good? We ought to have poured gasoline on them and set them on fire." "How horrible," Honest Lil said. "Listen, lady," the dark boy said, "I am horrible."
"Willie," Henry said, "do you want the key to Sin House and go over and see if everything's all right?"
"I do not," the dark boy said. "I have a key to Sin House, as you have evidently forgotten, and I do not want to go over there and see if everything is all right. The only way everything is all right there is whenever you or I kick those cunts into the street."
"But suppose we can't get anything else?"
"We have got to get something else. Lillian, why don't you get off that stool and onto that telephone? Forget that little dwarf. Get that gnome out of your mind, Henry. You keep on with things like that, you'll be psycho. I know, I've been psycho."
"You're psycho now," Thomas Hudson told him.
"Maybe I am, Tom. You should know, but I don't fuck gnomes."
He pronounced the word gnomes.
"If Henry has to have a gnome, that's his business. But I don't believe he has to have one any more than he has to have one-armed women or one-legged women. Let him forget that goddamn gnome and get Lillian there onto the telephone."
"I'll take any good girls we can get," Henry said. "I hope you're not mixed up, Willie."
"We don't want good girls," Willie said. "You start on that right away, you'll get psycho in a different way. Am I right, Tommy? Good girls is the most dangerous thing of all. Besides, they will get you either on a contributing to delinquency or on a rape or attempted rape. Out with that good girl stuff. We want whores. Nice, clean, attractive, interesting, inexpensive whores that can fuck. Lillian, what is keeping you away from that telephone? One thing is that a man is using it, and another is waiting by the cigar counter for him to finish, Honest Little said. You're a bad boy, Willie. I am a horrible boy, Willie said. I'm the worst goddamn boy you'll ever know, but I'd like us to get better organized than we are now.
We're going to have a drink or so, Henry said. Then I'm sure Lillian will find someone that she knows. Won't you, my beauty?
Of course, Honest Little said in Spanish. Why couldn't I? But I want to telephone from a telephone in a booth, not from here. It isn't proper to call from here, and it isn't fitting.
A delay, Willie said. All right, I accept it. Just another delay. Let's drink, then.
What the hell have you been doing? Thomas Hudson asked.
Tommy, I love you, Willie said. What the hell have you been doing yourself?
I had a few with Ignacio Natera Ravello.
That sounds like an Italian cruiser, Willie said. Wasn't there an Italian cruiser named that?
I don't think so.
It sounds like it anyway.
Let me see the tabs, Henry said. How many were there, Tom? Ignacio took them. I won them from him rolling. How many were there, really? Henry asked. I think four. What did you drink before that? A Tom Collins coming in. And at home? Plenty.
You're just a damn rummy, Willie said. Pedrico, three more double frozen daiquiris and whatever the lady wants. Un jaibolito con agua mineral, Honest Lil said. Tommy, come and sit with me at the other end of the bar. They don't like me to sit at this end of the bar.
The hell with them, Willie said. Great friends like us that never see each other and then we can't have a drink with you at this end of the bar. The hell with that.
I'm sure you're all right here, beauty, Henry said. Then he saw two planter friends of his farther down the bar and went to speak to them without waiting for his drink.
He's off now, Willie said. He'll forget about the gnome now. He's very distraught, Honest Lil said. He's awfully distraught.
It's the life we lead, Willie said. Just the ceaseless pursuit of pleasure for pleasure's sake. God damn it, we ought to pursue pleasure seriously.
Tom's not distraught, Honest Lil said. Tom is sad.
Cut out that shit, Willie said to her. What are you pissed off about? First somebody is distraught, then somebody is sad. Before that, I'm horrible. So what? Where does a cunt like you get off criticizing people all the time? Don't you know you're supposed to be gay?
Honest Lil began to cry. Real tears. Bigger and wetter than any in the movies. She could always cry real tears anytime she wanted to, or needed to, or was hurt.
That cunt cries bigger tears than my mother used to make, Willie said.
Willie, you shouldn't call me that.
Cut it out, Willie, Thomas Hudson said.
Willie, you are a cruel, wicked boy, and I hate you,
Honest Lil said.
I don't know why men like Thomas Hudson and Henry go around with you. You are wicked and you talk vile.
You're a lady, Willie said. You shouldn't say things like that. Vile is a bad word. It's like spit on the end of your cigar.
Thomas Hudson put his hand on the boy's shoulder. Drink up, Willie. Nobody's feeling too good.
Henry's feeling good. I could tell him what you told me, and then he'd feel awful.
You ask me.
That isn't what I mean. Why don't you split your goddamn grief? Why do you keep that by yourself the last 2 weeks?
Grief doesn't split.
A grief hoarder, Willie said. I never thought you'd be a goddamn grief hoarder.
I don't need any of this, Willie, Thomas Hudson said to him. Thank you very much, though. You don't have to work on me.
Okay, hoard it. But it'll do you no dang good. I tell you, I was brought up on the goddamn stuff.
So was I, Thomas Hudson said. No shit.
Were you really? Then maybe your own system's best. You're getting to look pretty screwy, though.
That's just from drinking and being tired and not relaxed yet.
You hear from your woman?
Sure. Three letters.
How's that going?
Couldn't be worse.
Well, Willie said, there we are. You might as well hoard it so as to have something.
I've got something.
Sure. Your cat, Boise, loves you. I know that. I've seen that. How is the screwy old bastard?
Just as screwy.
He beats the shit out of me, Willie said. He does.
He certainly sweats things out.
Doesn't he, though?
If I suffer like that cat does, I'd be nuts. What are you drinking, Thomas?
Another one of those. Willie put his arm around Honest Lil's ample waist.
Listen, Lily, he said. You're a good girl. I didn't mean to get you sore. It was my fault. I was feeling emotional. You won't talk that way anymore?
No.
Not unless I get emotional.
Here's yours, Thomas Hudson said to him. Here's to you, you son of a bitch.
Now you're talking, Willie said. Now you got the old pecker pointed north. We ought to have that cat Boise here. He'd be proud of you. See what I meant by sharing it?
Yes, Thomas Hudson said. I see.
All right, Willie said. We'll drop it. Put out your can. Here comes the garbage man. Look at that damn Henry. Get a load of him. What do you suppose makes him sweat like that on a cold day like today?
Girls, Honest Lil said. He's obsessed with them.
Obsessed, Willie said. You bore a hole in his head anywhere you want with a half-inch bit, and women will run out. Obsessed. Why don't you get a word that would fit it?
Obsessed is a strong word in Spanish, anyway.
Obsessed. Obsessed is nothing. If I get time this afternoon, I'll think up the word.
Tom, come down to the other end of the bar where we can talk and I can be comfortable. Will you buy me a sandwich? I've been out all morning with Henry.
I'm going to the Basque bar, Willie said. Bring him over there, Lil.
All right, Honest Lil said.
Or I'll send him.
She made her stately progress to the far end of the bar, speaking to many of the men she passed and smiling at others. Everyone treated her with respect. Nearly everyone she spoke to had loved her at some time in the last 25 years. Thomas Hudson went down to the far end of the bar, taking his bar checks with him, as soon as Honest Lil had seated herself and smiled at him. She had a beautiful smile and wonderful dark eyes and lovely black hair. When it would begin to show white at the roots along the line of her forehead and along the line of the part, she would ask Thomas Hudson for money to have it fixed, and when she came back from having it dyed, it was as glossy and natural-looking and lovely as a young girl's hair. She had a skin that was as smooth as olive-colored ivory, if there were olive-colored ivory, with a slightly smoky rose-like cast. Actually, the color always reminded Thomas Hudson of well-seasoned mahogwa lumber when it is freshly cut, then simply sanded smooth and waxed lightly. Nowhere else had he ever seen that smoky, almost greenish color. But the mahogwa did not have the rose tint. The rose tint was just the color that she used, but it was almost as smooth as a Chinese girl's. There was this lovely face looking down the bar at him, lovelier all the time, as he came closer. Then he was beside her, and there was the big body, and the rose color was artificial now, and there was no mystery about any of it, although it was still a lovely face. "You look beautiful, Honest," he said to her.
"Oh, Tom, I am so big now, I am ashamed."
He put his hand on her great haunches and said, "You're a nice big."
"I'm ashamed to walk down the bar."
"You do it beautifully, like a ship."
"How is our friend?"
"He's fine."
"When am I going to see him?"
"Anytime. Now?"
"Oh, no, Tom, what was Willie talking about? The part I couldn't understand."
"He was just being crazy."
"No, he wasn't. It was about you and a sorrow. Was it about you and your señora?"
"No, fuck my señora."
"I wish you could, but you can't when she is away."
"Yeah, I found that out."
"What is the sorrow, then?"
"Nothing, just a sorrow."
"Tell me about it, please."
"There's nothing to tell."
"You can tell me, you know. Henry tells me about his sorrows and cries in the night. Willie tells me dreadful things. They are not sorrows so much as terrible things. You can tell me. Everyone tells me. Only you don't tell me."
"Telling never did me any good. Telling is worse for me than not telling."
"Tom, Willie says such bad things. Doesn't he know it hurts me to hear such words? Doesn't he know I've never used those words and have never done a pig-like thing nor a perverted thing?"
"That's why we call you Honest Lil."
"If I could be rich doing perverted things and be poor doing normal things, I would be poor."
"I know. What about the sandwich?"
"I'm not hungry just yet."
"Do you want another drink?"
"Yes. Please, Tom, tell me." Willie said there was a cat in love with you. That isn't true, is it?
Yes, it's true.
I think it's dreadful.
No, it's not. I'm in love with the cat, too.
That's terrible to say. Don't tease me, Tom, please. Willie teased me and made me cry.
I love the cat, Thomas Hudson said.
I don't want to hear about it, Tom. When will you take me out to the bar of the crazies?
One of these days.
Do the crazies really come there just like ordinary people come here to meet and have drinks?
That's right. The only difference is they wear shirts and trousers made out of sugar sacks.
Did you really play on the ball team of the crazies against the lepers?
Sure. I was the best knuckleball pitcher the crazies ever had.
How did you get to know them?
I just stopped there one time on the way back from Rancho Boyeros and liked the place.
Will you really take me out to the bar of the crazies?
Sure. If you won't be scared.
I'll be scared. But I won't be too scared if I'm with you. That's why I want to go out there, to be scared.
There's some wonderful crazies out there. You'll like them.
My first husband was a crazy, but he was the difficult kind.
Do you think Willie is crazy?
Oh, no, he just has a difficult character.
He's suffered very much.
Who hasn't? Willie presumes on his suffering.
I don't think so. I know about it, I promise you.
Let's talk about something else, then. Do you see that man down there at the bar talking to Henry?
Yes.
All he likes in bed are pig-like things.
Poor man.
He's not poor, he's rich. But all he cares for is porquerias.
Didn't you ever like porquerias?
Never. You can ask anyone. And I've never done anything with girls in my life.
Honest Lil, Thomas Hudson said.
Wouldn't you rather have me that way? You don't like porquerias. You like to make love and be happy and go to sleep. I know you.
Todo el mundo me conoce.
No, they don't. They have all sorts of different ideas about you, but I know you.
He was drinking another of the frozen daiquiris with no sugar in it, and as he lifted it, heavy and the glass frost-rimmed, he looked at the clear part below the frappéd top, and it reminded him of the sea. The frappéd part of the drink was like the wake of a ship, and the clear part was the way the water looked when the bow cut it when you were in shallow water over marl bottom. That was almost the exact color. I wish they had a drink the color of seawater when you have a depth of 800 fathoms and there's a dead calm with the sun straight up and down and the sea full of plankton, he said.
What?
Nothing. Let's drink this shallow water drink.
Tom, what's the matter? Do you have some problem?
No.
You're awfully sad and you're a little bit old today.
It's the norther.
But you always used to say a norther gave you pep and cheered you up. How many times have we made love because there was a norther?
Plenty.
You always liked a norther, and you bought me this coat to wear when we have them.
It's a pretty coat, too.
I could have sold it half a dozen times, Honest Lil said. More people were crazy for this coat than you can imagine.
This is a fine norther for it.
Be happy, Tom. You always get happy when you drink. Drink that drink and have another one.
If I drink it too fast, it hurts across the front of my forehead.
Well, just drink slow and steady then. I'm going to have another jaibolito.
She made it herself from the bottle Serafine had left in front of her on the bar, and Thomas Hudson looked at it and said, "That's a freshwater drink. That is the color of the water in the Firehole River before it joins the Gibbon to become the Madison. If you put a little more whiskey in it, you could make it the color of a stream that comes out of a cedar swamp to flow into the Bear River at a place called Wabmimi."
Wabmimi is funny, she said. What does it mean?
I don't know, he said. It's an Indian place name. I ought to know what it means, but I've forgotten. It's Ojibwe.
Tell me about Indians, Honest Lil said. I like to hear about the Indians even more than about the crazies.
There are quite a few Indians down the coast. They are sea Indians, and they fish and dry the fish, and are charcoal burners.
I don't want to hear about Cuban Indians. They're all mulattos.
No, they're not. Some are real Indians. but they may have captured them in the early days and brought them over from Yucatan.
I don't like Yucatecos.
I do very much.
Tell me about Wabmimi. Is it in the far west?
No, it's up north, in the part that's near Canada.
I know Canada. I came into Montreal up the river once on a princess ship. But it was raining, and we could see nothing, and we left that same evening for New York on the train.
Did it rain all the time on the river?
All the time, and outside, before we came into the river, there was fog, and part of the time it snowed. You can have Canada. Tell me about Wabmimi.
It was just a village where there was a sawmill on the river and the train ran through it. There were always great piles of sawdust beside the railroad tracks. They had booms across the river to hold the logs, and they were almost solid across the river. The river was covered with logs a long way above the town. One time I'd been fishing, and I wanted to cross the river, and I crawled across on the logs. One rolled with me, and I went into the water. When I came up, it was all logs above me, and I could not get through between them. It was dark under them, and all I could feel with my hands was their bark. I could not spread two of them apart to get up to the air.
What did you do?
I drowned.
Oh, she said, don't say it. Tell me quick what you did.
I thought very hard, and I knew I had to get through very quickly. I felt very carefully around the bottom of a log until I came to where it was pushed against another log. Then I put my two hands together and pushed up, and the log spread apart just a little. Then I got my hands through, and then my forearms and elbows through, and then I spread the two logs apart with my elbows until I got my head up, and I had an arm over each log. I loved each log very much, and I lay there like that a long time between them. That water was brown from the logs in it. The water that's like your drink was in a little stream that flowed into that river.
I don't think I could ever have come up between the logs.
I didn't think I could for a long time.
How long were you underwater?
I don't know. I know I rested a long time with my arms on the logs before I tried to do anything else.
I like that story, but it will make me have bad dreams. Tell me something happy, Tom.
All right, he said. Let me think.
No, tell one right away without thinking.
All right, Thomas Hudson said. When young Tom was a little baby.
Que muchacho más guapo,
Honest Lil interrupted.
¿Qué noticias tienes de él?
Muy buenas.
Me alegro,
said Honest Lil, tears coming into her eyes at the thought of young Tom the flyer.
Siempre tengo su fotografía en uniforme con el Sagrado Corazón de Jesús arriba de la fotografía y al lado la Virgen del Cobre.
You have great faith in the Virgen del Cobre?
Absolutely blind faith.
You must keep it.
And she is looking after Tom day and night.
Good, said Thomas Hudson. Serafine, another of these big ones, please. Do you want the happy story?
Yes, please, Honest Lil said. Please tell me the happy story. I feel sad again.
Pues el happy story es muy sencillo, Thomas Hudson said.
The first time we ever took Tom to Europe, he was only 3 months old, and it was a very old, small, and slow liner, and the sea was rough most of the time. The ship smelled of bilge and oil and the grease on the brass of portholes and of the lavabos and the disinfectant they used that was in big pink cakes in the pissoirs.
Pues, this isn't a very happy story.
Sí, mujer, you're wrong as hell. This is a happy story, muy happy.
I go on. The ship also smelled of baths you had to take at regular hours or be looked down on by the bath steward, and the smell of hot salt water coming out of the brass nozzles of the bath fixtures and of the wet wooden grate on the floor and of the starched jacket of the bath steward. It also smelled of cheap English ship cooking, which is a discouraging smell, and of the dead butts of woodbines, players, and gold flakes in the smoking room and wherever they were dropped. It did not have one good smell, and, as you know, the English, both men and women, all have a peculiar odor, even to themselves, much as we have to Negroes, and so they have to bathe very often. An Englishman never smells sweet as a cow's breath does, and a pipe-smoking Englishman does not conceal his odor. He only adds something to it. Their tweeds smell good, and so does the leather of their boots, and all their saddlery smells good. But there is no saddlery on a ship, and the tweeds are impregnated with the dead pipe smell. The only way you could get a good smell on that ship was when your nose was deep in a tall glass of dry, sparkling cider from Devon. This smelled wonderful, and I kept my nose in it as much as I could afford, maybe more.
Pues, it is a little more happy now.
Here is the happy part. Our cabin was so low, just above the waterline, that the port had to be kept closed all the time, and you saw the sea racing by, and then you saw it solid green as the sea went past the porthole. We had built a barricade with trunks and suitcases roped together so that Tom could not fall out of the berth, and when his mother and I would come down to see how he was, every time we ever came, if he was awake, he was laughing.
Did he really laugh when he was 3 months old?
He laughed all the time. I never heard him cry when he was a baby.
Que muchacho más lindo y más guapo.
Yes, Thomas Hudson said, very high-class muchacho. Want me to tell you another happy story about him?
Why did you leave his lovely mother?
A very strange combination of circumstances. Do you want another happy story?
Yes, but without so many smells in it.
This frozen daiquiri, so well beaten as it is, looks like the sea where the wave falls away from the bow of a ship when she is doing 30 knots. How do you think frozen daiquiris would be if they were phosphorescent?
You could put phosphorus in them, but I don't think it would be healthy. Sometimes people in Cuba commit suicide by eating phosphorus from the heads of matches.
And drinking tinte rápido. What is rapid ink?
It is a dye to make shoes black, but most often girls who have been crossed in love or when their fiancés have not kept their promises and done things to them and then gone away without marrying, commit suicide by pouring alcohol on themselves and setting themselves on fire. That is the classic way.
I know, Thomas Hudson said. Auto da fe.
It's very certain, Honest Lil said. They nearly always die. The burns are on the head first and usually all over the body. Rapid ink is more of a gesture. Iodine is au fond a gesture, too.